Our third reading is from John chapter 1, verses 1 to 14. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God, whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. Amen.
Well, please take your seats. And this evening, as we've sung some carols and we've heard the Bible readings, at the heart of it all is good news in the birth of Jesus Christ 2,000 years ago, which can connect to the reality of our lives today. And the reality of our lives is usually very different, isn't it, to what we see on the Christmas TV adverts, where everything is serene, isn't it? The family are smiling because they've saved money shopping at Asda. There's plenty of food on the tables. The snow is gently falling on Joe Wilkinson and Keira Knightley, who've met at the cheese counter at Waitrose. Christmas presents are all around beautifully wrapped. But actually, most of our Welsh Christmases are soggy rather than snowy. Someone will probably burn the pigs in blankets at some point. There'll be an argument over what to watch on the TV, and some family member, they'll either get lost or they'll get stuck in traffic on the way to the family gathering. We long for something perfect, don't we? But the reality is that our Christmas never quite goes how we plan. And the same can be said for our lives, can't it? The reality of our lives every other month of the year is, on the whole, one of tiredness. Often we're stressed, feeling lonely and even overwhelmed. And whether it's family tensions, the cost of living crisis, the awful year that you've had, the tragic news that you've struggled to come to terms with, whatever it might be for you, as you come towards another Christmas, you can't help but feel like the world is a bit broken. And in the middle of all of this, Christmas makes a staggering claim, one that speaks directly to every single person on earth. To you and to me this evening, who might be feeling the hard realities of life. And that claim is found in just one verse I want to share with you that we've just heard read there in John chapter 1 and verse 14, which says, "The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us." The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. John, as he writes there, uses that phrase, the Word, to speak of Jesus Christ, the eternal God who takes on human nature. In calling him the Word, it says to us that God was speaking, that at the very first Christmas, God was revealing himself to this broken world in a way that he never had before. The shocking good news claim of Christmas is that God became human. And as we heard read from that reading in Isaiah chapter 7, it was promised that a virgin would conceive and would bear a son, and they would call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. And so when we came to that second reading then in Matthew 1, that was confirmed. That promise given hundreds of years before would be fulfilled in the person of Jesus Christ, that God, the maker of the universe, comes and moves in to our neighborhood. Now, sometimes when there's a big disaster, maybe in our country, the monarch will go and visit the place that has been struck by a tragedy. Maybe here in Wales in particular, we might know of Queen Elizabeth visiting the valley town of Aberfan. She went 8 days after the fatal coal tips had run down the mountain back in 1966. It was one of the biggest regrets that she had, that she waited so long before visiting. But she did go, and she maintained a long-standing relationship with Aberfan afterwards. Only a few years back then, when the Grenfell fire tragedy happened a few years ago in London, she went to visit, to meet those who had been impacted by it. And on these occasions, a monarch in our country, or presidents or prime ministers around the world, when tragedies happen, they come and they look and they sympathize, but then they return to their palace or to their stately home. They don't move in, do they? But here, John writes that God didn't just visit humanity for a day. It wasn't a brief photo opportunity before returning to heaven. No, God moved in. He pitched his tent and made his dwelling among us. He was intimately involved in this world as a real human being. The good news of Christmas is that God is not one who stays distant, but he steps right into the everyday. And that is such good news for us this evening, because God knows better than we do the brokenness of this world, and maybe even the brokenness that you feel this evening. But as you come towards another Christmas, maybe all you feel is grief or anxiety or stress, which leaves you with strained relationships at work or at home. It leaves you disappointed or just stumbling along in quiet loneliness. And that's just in your life. If you put the news on, you see the state of conflicts in the world, in Africa and the Middle East and still in Europe. As another year comes to a close, even today, there's been shootings around the world. There is corruption. There is injustice. I'm not trying to be gloomy. I'm just wanting to be honest and realistic. This is just the reality of our world, isn't it? And the thing is then, when we come to Christmas, it's as if we have to pretend for a couple of weeks every year that those problems don't exist. It's like being sent a lovely Christmas card in the post, and there's a brilliant snowy scene on the front of it, but you open it and inside there's a little message from a friend about how hard a year that person's had. And the serene picture on the front of the card and the reality of life, well, it just doesn't match up. But I want to say to you this evening that you don't have to pretend that life is perfect just because there's a Christmas tree up and there's lights down the high street. We don't have to pretend, because it was into this very world of brokenness, tarnished by human failing, that God steps into. He doesn't step into an ideal world, but into this one, the one that you and I experience. And so because Jesus Christ was born in Bethlehem and then grew up and lived in Nazareth, as he made his dwelling among us and lived in our neighborhood, it all means that he knows what life is like. Jesus is like a doctor who understands what his patients are going through because he has gone through it himself. If you had a doctor who treats a particular disease and they've been ill with that same disease themselves, then they more truly understand what their patients are going through. Once they've had that illness, they can say, I know what that's like. And in the same way, Jesus is not some distant consultant giving us advice. He is God in the flesh. He's the one who stepped down, as it were, into the ward as a patient. Jesus didn't float along above life with all its problems. No, he steps down into the mess. And the Bible clearly sets that out for us, that he knew poverty from the beginning. He was born into a borrowed space. He was a child refugee having to flee to Egypt. When you read an account of his life in the Gospels, in the Bible, you see that he knew tiredness, he knew stress, he knew friendship, he knew betrayal, he knew grief as he wept at the graveside of a friend, he knew pain, both physically and emotionally. And so the fact that Jesus knows what it is like to live the life that you're living means that there is nothing that you can bring to Jesus that he doesn't understand. In his kindness, the response of God to our sorry state was not to shout advice from a distance, but to step down and to walk our roads himself. And it was vital. It was so crucial that he did that. I wonder if you've ever been for a walk down at Rosilli. And at the end of the mainland there is Worm's Head, and you can look out on that. And at that end point, there's a Coast Guard lookout point, a little building. And sometimes they see people over on Worm's Head and they're in trouble. They see someone cut off by the tide and they're stranded out on the Worm. And what do? They don't just stand there on the side shouting instructions from the cliff edge. They call for help. The lifeboat will come, launching into the sea to go and rescue those who've been cut off by the rising tide. And that is the picture painted for us of what Jesus coming into this world is really all about. That you and I, by nature, are separated from God and we are unable to bridge that gap because of all of our shortcomings and all of our failings and all of our brokenness. It's like we are stuck on Worm's Head and we are cut off from the mainland. Well, God knows that. He knows our sorry state, but he doesn't tell us to sort it out ourselves. He doesn't stand at a distance shouting, "Try harder." All the signs that are down at Worm's Head will tell you not to try and beat the tide. And if you do happen to get cut off, don't even try and attempt to swim back because you'll never make it. You'll get caught up in the strong currents that flow through that bit of water there, and you'll be swept out to sea and you'll never be seen again. No, what you've got to do is you've got to wait to be rescued. We would need someone to come to us. And that is what Christmas is all about, friends. The rescuer of this world comes to us. That in the coming of Jesus into this world, the rescuer arrives. He comes into the storm to pull us out. He comes that we might no longer be cut off from God, but have a relationship with the God who made you and loves you and knows you far better than you could ever know yourself. So you see, friends, Jesus didn't come only to empathize with us. He can and he does do that. But most importantly, he came to rescue us from our brokenness, that in becoming flesh and dwelling among us, as Jesus Christ comes into this world, he reveals God clearly and he bears the weight of our brokenness, what the Bible calls sin, that on the cross he does that. And he rises again to offer a hope that is stronger than death as we believe in him and what he has done. Friends, Jesus came close at that first Christmas. God became human so we could be brought home. He entered our darkness so that he could give us his light. He came to rescue us who were lost and cut off from God. The incredible hope that this offers is amazing. And it changes lives forever, every day of the year. People all over the world are coming to realize this hope for themselves. But here is just something of what this good news of Jesus Christ coming into this world at the first Christmas means for us. One is that if your faith is in Jesus, you're not alone. And sadly, we can sometimes feel like we are alone, can't we? We can be in a room full of people and still feel alone. But the good news of Christmas is that you're never alone. Jesus understands. Jesus knows better than you know yourself because he made you and he loves you and he's good and he's kind and he's true. He understands life from the inside, as it were. And so that means another thing. It means that you are so very deeply loved. Jesus Christ being born in Bethlehem, God becoming flesh, is the greatest show of commitment that the maker of the universe loves this world so much that he leaves the very best and he comes into the mess of this world that we might know the life that we've been made for. A peace that can never be taken, a hope that can never be squashed, and a joy that endures even in the hardest moments. In some remote parts of the country, you can't get any phone signal. And depending on the kind of person you are, that either sounds like a great week of holiday or an awful week of holiday, trying to get some signal. You love it or you can't stand it. But when you're in such places, no matter how hard you try and you walk around and you've got your phone above your head, you can't connect. Nothing will do it. There just very simply isn't a phone mast near enough to where you are. We have little moments like that when we holiday in North Wales, and maybe you've had that experience as well. But many people might feel like that a bit spiritually, that when it comes to this whole subject of God and, well, is he there and can I get to know him? Maybe you're open to there being a God, and you've tried, you've gone to church, you've read a bit of the Bible, you've listened to things online, but it just feels like heaven is a bit silent. Well, the good news of Christmas is that instead of waiting for us to get reception, we can't ever do it by ourselves. And so God comes down to us. Jesus is the one who makes that connection, who bridges that gap between heaven and earth, which is why faith in Jesus is at the very center of the hope of Christmas. Without that, we can't ever really know the God who made us. We'll never know that connection outside of the person and work of Jesus Christ. So what this good news of Christmas means for us is that tonight you're invited. Christmas isn't just some story to retell and to admire and to feel all nostalgic about. It's good news. It's all about a rescuer that we can receive. It is all about a new life, which we can begin when we trust ourselves to the Savior of the world. And so I wonder if for you this evening you're hearing that, and maybe you're understanding that, and maybe even you're starting to believe that this is more than just nostalgia, that Christmas really does mean that you can have real peace and lasting hope for every single day of the year, because God has come near and he is alive and he's drawing you near to him this evening. He's speaking to you and he invites all of us to respond to him in faith. And very simply, that means trusting yourself to Jesus, believing that he really did come into this world, as we've read at the very first Christmas, and that he grew up to go to the cross, to die in the place of people just like you and me, that we might no longer be cut off from the God who made us, but we might enjoy the relationship that we've been made for, that Jesus did all of that for you, that you might have peace and hope and joy as all of your shortcomings and failings are forgiven. It means turning away from the life you've lived without him to a life with him. And when you do that, well, life clicks into place. The very purpose for which you are here is fulfilled. And life takes on a whole new, a deeper level of meaning and significance. And that is all because the Word became flesh and dwelt amongst us. All because in the person of Jesus Christ, God is with us. And that's something we're thinking about, isn't it? Maybe you've never quite heard anything like that before, but you've heard it this evening. And so I wonder, will you put your faith in Jesus Christ this Christmas, the one who's at the very heart of this whole Advent season? And Christmas is such a busy time, isn't it? We don't often get much time to think about things, to pause and to reflect. And so I want to encourage us to do that now, as we consider, well, what is our response to this good news of Christmas, of God becoming a human being, of the birth of Jesus Christ to people like us? Will you turn to Jesus? Will you believe in him this Christmas? Well, maybe as you've sung the carols and as you've listened this evening, you've been struck by the good news that Christmas is, and of your need of that. And there's something deep inside of you this evening that says, well, yes, I need this good news, and I do believe this, and there's got to be more to my life than what I've known up to this point. And that more is found in the person of Jesus Christ, who came at that first Christmas, that God became human to be with us, that we would not be alone, that we might know how deeply loved we are, that we might respond to the invitation of eternal life with our Maker. Well, I wonder, will you do that tonight, friend? Will you commit yourself to Jesus? We're going to pray now, and as we pray, you can make the words that you hear me say, you can make them your own in your heart. You can even tonight trust in Jesus and know him with you always. Well, let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for the good news of Christmas, that in the person of Jesus Christ, God has come and lived among us. Thank you that in him We see how much you love us, to rescue us, to restore us to the relationship for which we have been made, as the Lord Jesus lives perfectly and dies on a cross and rises again for people like us. Father, all we can do is respond in faith tonight to what we have heard, that we might have the eternal life that we've been made for. Please would you forgive us for living our lives up to this point without you. We put our faith in Jesus this evening, that we might know real hope, deep peace, and lasting joy, even in the hardest of circumstances. Thank you for the great comfort that we can know because Jesus has come and will be with us always by faith, as we pray in his name. Amen.